When I was an undergraduate, I studied biology, I think as many of you know. But I found that stressful. So as an outlet for some of that stress, I took a beginning voice class my junior year. Just something entirely different. And I loved it. So I took it again. And again, and again. It was one of those classes you could just keep taking over if you wanted to. So I did, and I took that class for the last 6 quarters of college. And it was in that class that I was first introduced to Leonard Bernstein's Mass. It's a musical theater production. It's a dramatized version of the pre-Vatican II Catholic Mass. But there was one song in that that just completely captured my imagination. It's more than any of the others. It's the hymn and psalm portion of the Mass, and it was called A Simple Song. And it was based on Psalm 121, the same psalm that we sung today. But it's augmented by the refrain, God loves all simple things, for God is the simplest of all. And I got hung up on that. God is the simplest of all. What does that mean? The simplest of all? God? We talk about God as the beginning and the end, the Trinity, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, maybe the source of all being. Theologians have spent centuries trying to explain God. But anyone who has ventured into the realm of systematic theology knows that none of these explanations are simple. They're intricate. They're complicated. When I was in seminary, we heard terms like perichoresis, interpenetration, capaciousness, circumincession, and co-inherence. Not simple. And they make God sound more like some kind of a thought experiment than a living, loving, protecting, and intimate deity. What if we've really overcomplicated God? What if God is actually really simple? What would that even look like? Today, the psalmist asks, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come? My help comes from God, the maker of heaven and earth. Give it a thought for a minute. Just think about it. Did you know that most people, when they are racking their brains for an answer, trying to remember something, or even just gathering their thoughts, they will naturally look up. I've been paying attention to myself. I do it all the time. And research has shown that there is a neural connection between searching for a thought and searching for something visibly on the horizon. And just like our ancestors would have looked to the hills for food or shelter or an enemy, we do the same thing when we're searching our brains. Looking up helps us to tune out all of the external stimuli that's around us. There's less to distract us up in the sky. I mean, think about it. There's birds, yeah, clouds, yeah. Our ancestors didn't have to worry about this, but we do, airplanes. You might see those in the sky, but it is nothing compared to the things right in front of us, or to the left, or to the right. With fewer distractions, we're able to access more information and to process our thoughts better. We lift our eyes to the hills to make it simpler to think clearly. Now, this psalm is typically called a song of ascent, and is thought to have been recited by pilgrims as they were making their way up Mount Moriah to the temple in Jerusalem. Just imagine it for a second. as the pilgrims lift their eyes toward that holy hill, the most sacred of places, they let everything else fall away. In fixing their gaze there, they block out what would distract or burden them. They narrow their vision so that they can focus more fully on God. And in that posture, eyes raised, hearts attentive, they make statements about who God is. God will not let your foot be moved. God watches over you and will not fall asleep. God shall neither slumber nor sleep. God watches over you and is your shade at your right hand. No complicated Greek or Latin words are needed. It's a simple song of love and appreciation to God, the God who loves, the God who protects, the God who cares, the God who's constant. It's simple. It's not flashy, but it surely must have been awe-inspiring. UC Berkeley psychologist Dr. Keltner specializes in the phenomenon of awe. He describes awe like this. Awe is the feeling of being in the presence of something vast that transcends your current understanding of the world. And so what do you think is the most common source of awe for people? Nature? Any other guesses?
Newborn baby.
Okay, newborn baby.
Sky
in the universe. What about prayer? Anyone want that one? Art? Music? The baby was the closest. It's actually other people. And I know looking at this world, it may seem really hard to believe, but yeah, what was most commonly that led people to awe was other people's courage and kindness and strength and overcoming. And I don't think it's a coincidence that today's psalm was recited by pilgrims. And I don't think it's a coincidence that this psalm was used by Leonard Bernstein to declare the simplicity of God. Everything about it screams of the steadfast love and care that God has for each and every one of us. God shall preserve you from all evil and is the one who shall keep you safe. God shall watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore. Courage, kindness, strength, overcoming. God's got it all. How awesome! But why would God care about wiring us to feel awe for love and caring? Well, I think the answer, like God, is actually rather simple. Keltner describes how it works. In awe, our minds open in wonder to the systems of life and our small part in them. In moments of awe, then, we shift from the sense that we are solely in charge of our own fate and striving against everyone else to feeling that we are part of a community, sharing essential qualities, interdependent, and collaborating. Awe causes us to sacrifice, to share, to put aside self-interest in favor of the interests of others. Does that remind you of something? Maybe this will help. It's from today's gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That's That's right, John 3:16 is not just for holding up on a sign at a sporting event. Sacrifice, sharing, putting aside self-interest, favoring the interests of others. When God entered into the world as Jesus of Nazareth, God did all of those things. And here is why that is so important. The more we are in awe, the more we will act like God. Simply put, awe helps us become more like God. And that's the entire point of the spiritual life, to get closer to God. It's the entire point of focused, intentional seasons like Lent, to help us be remade fully in God's image. So I would encourage you, be open to awe wherever you can find it. Take it in when you experience it. Lift up your eyes, block out the distractions. It doesn't have to be hard. God really, really does love simple things.